Bob Lee Swagger is back in Stephen Hunter's new novel, The Third Bullet, and Swagger is figuring out where the Warren Commission went wrong, uncovering what really happened in Dallas on November 22, 1963, in a blockbuster alternate narrative. Stephen Hunter's newest thriller and his tough-as-nails sniper has a fresh take on one of history's most infamous crimes. It's a great pleasure to welcome Stephen Hunter back to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always nice to have you here.
It's my pleasure, Joe. I'm very pleased to be here.
It has been said in many reviews that I have read of this book that this was the book that you were born to write. Do you feel that this in some way is a culmination that you got around to putting together something that you've wanted to write about for a long time?
Well, I actually do, but on the other hand, I didn't know it until after I'd done it. One of the reviews said it was inevitable. I wish the guy had called me and told me it was inevitable, because it took years to figure out.
So why do you feel it was inevitable? At what point did you say, okay, I have to take this on?
Well, I was actually working on it for 50 years in the following sense. I was always obsessed by and fascinated with that event. And over the years, I visited every church of an assassination theory. I was a great believer in Warren Commission and lone gunman, and then I was a Mark Lane acolyte, and then I was an acolyte of every other theory that came along, except I must confess, I never went for the one where the guy had the CIA forensic lab hidden in Air Force One when it came back from
okay.
Dallas. That one, I didn't quite buy that. I don't know. It seemed a little shaky to me. And then when the blowback came and all the pro Warren Commission books came out, Alec Posner and Bugliosi, then I shifted over to that point of view. But all during that time, I was developing, I don't know, insights, maybe I should call them, or maybe a more appropriate word would be riffs or soliloquies, little performance pieces based on something about the assassination that struck me that seemed to have struck nobody else. And I had no place to express them except at parties, and believe me, people got really bored with Hunter's JFK thing after a while. So at one point, I contemplated doing a book called Seven Theories of JFK. The only problem was I only had one theory of JFK. I also had a theory about the death of George Reeve, who either committed suicide or was murdered. He was the guy who played
Superman. Yeah, sure.
I would really like to discuss that. Anyway, but I only had one or two theories. And then I was sitting on the couch with my friend Gary, who was sitting across from me. We were drinking. I was in the middle of a book called, I can never remember the name of this one. I think it was called Soft Target. Was not having much fun. It was pretty much a mercantile or a mercenary operation. And I got off on JFK, and I did several of my riffs, and Gary thought they were really cool. And out of nowhere, I said, you know, I ought to do a book on JFK with Bob Lee Swagger investigating. And I said it as a joke, and I laughed for 0.72 seconds, and then I stopped laughing because I realized, A, it was a brilliant idea for me at least, and B, I wanted to do it more than I wanted to do the book that I was doing at the time. In fact, I thought about calling Simon & Schuster and saying, look, let's junk the shopping center thing and let's move on and do Jack Kennedy. But, you know, I'd taken money on the deal, and I try and be a professional, and so I went ahead and put my rear end in the seat for the next 2 months working on the shopping center while thinking about, dreaming about researching John F. Kennedy. And this is the only time in my career I've ever done this. I think it's so cool. I think it's the coolest thing I've ever done. The day after I finished the last revision of Soft Target, I started the JFK book. It was like Anthony Trollope, who would finish a book in the morning, have lunch, and start another book in the afternoon.
Like a chain smoker.
Not
even out the door yet, and you're working on the next one.
Exactly. And I must say, it was a great year. I had so much energy and so much enthusiasm. I was so engaged in it. It was actually nice to people on several occasions. Very rare for me, but it was amazing.
The setup of the book is that the widow of a writer comes to Swagger with the suspicion that her husband's death might not have been an accident, because he was researching a novel where he had found this new evidence that could change the way that we view the JFK assassination. And then you're off to the races. I assume, so do we take from this that you yourself have a theory, or that you were just playing with the story and seeing how it can be looked at in so many different ways?
Well, a lot of the technical problems with a book like this is, how do you get into it? You've got to find the right angle into it. You've got to find something that's fast and is clear and is dramatic and make some kind of sense. And you've got to get into it and start the major wheels of the narrative turning. But that, you know, that's the first sort of obstacle that you're laying before readers. This seemed to me to work very well. It seemed to be a way of connecting, getting Swagger into it without anything too fanciful or ridiculous. And since the writer that gets killed is a very close portrait of myself, I had a sort of a good time, though I think there might have been some alcohol involved, imagining my own death, and then my wife rather uncharacteristically rising to the occasion and demanding justice and hunting down Bob Swagger and getting him into the story. And I knew at one point, I mean, see, in these things, you're always balancing exposition against action, against character, and you've got to be very cognizant of the rhythms between them. And I knew that in order to get the wheels turning, I had to lay a chunk of exposition on the folks. And in order to do that, I put it in my wife's mouth, and I gave her her typical diffidence and insincerity. And she told the story, and Swagger liked her. Everybody likes her. She's a beautiful woman. Who wouldn't like her? It seemed like the most efficient mechanical means of getting the story done. And curiously enough, I get questions about what this means psychologically, that I begin with my own death, and it never occurred to me that it was any big deal. It was just a solution to a narrative problem, and I did it without much self-consciousness at all.
What's interesting about the character of Swagger in this is he begins quite skeptically, but it is a story that touches him. He's interested and comes up with one of the themes of the book is of he can't figure out why the Warren Commission never had that satisfactory answer to the question why.
I think that's right, and I mean I conceived this book at one point. I was able to sort of put a formula on what I was trying to do, and that was, I know that there must be millions of people who are at least familiar with the grand mega Oliver Stone, Jim Garrison kind of theories,
right,
and just roll their eyes and think it's ridiculous. Yet at the same time, there's something sort of dramatically, narratively unsatisfying about the Warren Commission, because you hate to think that this rupture in our society, in the ramifications that it unleashed over two subsequent generations, was a result of this squalid little pipsqueak who, you know, was a failure at everything he tried, who beat his wife, who was virtually unemployable, who had delusions of grandeur that just are, you know, a malignant narcissism that's, you know, sickening to encounter, you know, as well as a didactic, pompous streak. It just was, in every single measurable way, a loathsome human being. And you hate to think about so much having stemmed from such a tiny little pea of a human being. So what I try to do is come up with a, quote, conspiracy that obeyed all the laws, all the hard data of the Warren Commission. Oswald is always where they say he is. He always does what they say he did. I just try to find a room in that report, in the shadows, as it were, in the alleyways, in the arroyos, in the switchbacks, and try and insert a very small professional conspiracy of people who knew exactly what they were doing, who had a very precise policy point they were trying to make, and who were extremely good. I mean, they can do this kind of thing. This is very tough work. And as we watch them put it together, it's like I also try to return it to the real world in the sense that, oh, they have to improvise. They make mistakes. They get in little fights with each other. They're very lucky. They're also extremely frightened, and afterwards they're depressed. One of them is so depressed he sort of withdraws from society for the next 40 years. And ultimately they turn, or one of them turns on the other two. And to me, what I've done, regardless of truth or untruth in the objective historical sense, feels much more emotionally palpable. It seems to make more sense than the other two theories, the other two interpretations.
And as you make the point at the end of the book, that you reserve the novelist's right to reinterpret motive and reason without changing the core facts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you can look at certain events. I don't want to get too specific here because it'll bore people and I'll be giving away when I'm trying to sell.
Right.
But you can look at some of Oswald's decisions and some of his behavior and wonder, why the hell did he do that? That didn't make a whole lot of sense. And so I try to find a different set of reasons in which what he did in the context of the quote conspiracy that I've imagined suddenly made sense. And I found that weirdly satisfying. I mean, I must say I was I'm boasting, but it was very pleasing to me to come up with some of that stuff.
Well, the book is quite incredible. It's riveting, and it is entitled The Third Bullet. It's published by Simon & Schuster. Stephen Hunter, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I thank you very much for being
with
us.
Joe, you're the best. I appreciate the fact that you actually read the thing. Not a lot of people on radio have. You're a professional.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and thanks for writing such a good book. It's a hell of a read.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thank
Bye-bye
you.
Now.
Stephen Hunter is the author of the Bob Lee Swagger novel, The Third Bullet. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.